Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebee. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us! This episode is hosted by Marita Winkler.
Today we're here with Ryan. Welcome, Ryan. Ryan, you did your DGS in 2006. You went abroad, you lived in Indonesia, you came back to Heidelberg in 2020, and you lead our member care team here at Heidelberg. And thank you for being here today.
You're more than welcome.
Could you explain to our listeners, what does it mean to lead a member care team? What does member care do?
Yeah, our vision statement is to support field workers in their calling. So people have a call, they want to go. But it costs them everything, their language, their food, their family. They leave a lot behind, and there's a lot of loss in that move to where they are called to. Yeah, so we would like to support them. One phrase that I use a lot is they're too valuable to lose. Giving up everything to go and to share the gospel to the people that do not have access to. We want to be there. We want to support them and help them prepare well and also finish well. And when they're on the field, that they stay well.
That's quite a job and very important work. And I can imagine as you work with these people, you also really help people to go through transition. But not only missionaries go through transition, all of us go through transition multiple times in our lives. How would you describe transition? What is transition?
Yeah, transition. I give a couple of examples of my own life. So I moved to the mission field as a single, and then I married my wife, and suddenly I was a married man. Now that is a transition. How does that work? Suddenly you are married, you have a ring on your fingers, and now what? That's a transition. Also getting a little bit older. So first you are a boy, and then suddenly you have to become a man. How does that work? That is a transition. Also going from Holland to Indonesia, where they speak a different language, a different culture, different ways of thinking on doing. So then that's a transition as well. Yeah, so basically you have something that is familiar and you leave that behind, and there's the loss. And then you go into something new that you have not been before. Yeah, and that you call a transition, or maybe a change in your life. You can call that a transition as well.
So you leave something and you start something new, and that phase in between, that's transition.
That's right.
Some transitions, as you say, are maybe more obvious, like you move to a country, but becoming a man is probably a less obvious transition. So are there also differences in these transitions? Some are longer or you don't notice them, and some you notice very well. How does that work?
Yeah, I think many people are not aware of transition in their life. When I was 12, my parents fought a lot, and they divorced when I was 12. Actually, that's a transition as well. There's multiple transition because you leave your father behind and suddenly you're going to live only with your mom. But you also leave your old house behind and you go to a new house in a new neighborhood in a new school. That is a transition as well. So I was not aware of a lot of transitions in my life. And when you read about it, you discover, oh my, there are actually a lot of transitions, even transition during the day. Before this podcast, I was doing something completely different. So I had to take a little break just to transition from a talk, a serious talk, to a podcast. So that is a transition. Even going to sleep, that's a transition. You close your eyes and from living your life, you go into a sleep. And then you transition and you wake up and then the day starts. A lot of transitions. I think you get what I mean.
Sounds like a whole life is a transition.
Yes, yes.
So transition, of course, that you end something, you start something. So there are different steps on the way. What happens within a transition? Can you explain that? The different phases or signs? How does that look like?
If you think of five phases on a line, there, phase one and phase five is actually has the same name. It's called involvement. So phase one is where you were, they know you, they know your name, they know what you can do. And then you transition to this new place or into this new thing. And then you come, hopefully you come in phase five, which is also involvement. So in that, for example, I was in Holland. I was known. They know my name. They know what I can do. They know what they can ask me for. And then I transitioned to Indonesia, but it took me 3 years before people really knew my name and that they knew what I could do and that I was asked to do things again. So that whole transition from 1 to 5 took about 3 years because I had to learn a new language. I had to learn how to eat spicy food, how to relate with people from Indonesia. So it takes a long time. Now, phase 2 is the phase of leaving. So you leave something behind. That's a whole adventure. Because on one hand, you're excited. I'm excited to go to Indonesia. On the other hand, I'm also leaving my mom behind, which I love a lot. And I'm leaving my food behind. And the 4 seasons, there's only 3 seasons in Indonesia. It's hot, hotter, or hottest. That's it. So leaving hurts as well. There's a lot of losses in leaving. Your friendships that you do not know if you're going to see them again. My mom was already, I think, in her 80s. And then you leave her behind. And when I left and I stay there for 2 years, you do not know if I come back, if my mom is still alive. So there are losses in leaving. Also a lot of misunderstanding. I left from Indonesia to Thailand. And I remember that they had a meeting. And they said, we're going to talk about next year, Ryan. So you do not have to be here in this meeting. And I'm like, why not? Yeah, because you are leaving. You will not be there anymore. So now you can leave. And we will talk about the future. And I was not part of that anymore. That hurts. People are also hurt when you leave. So it's not only you are hurt. Other people that love you and they are happy with you, they are hurt as well. So you have the leavers, but you also have the people who are staying. And staying hurts also. And then new people come also in people's lives. So there's a lot of transition there. So that's the leaving stage. Stage 3 is really the transition. Yeah, how can you describe transition? Chaos, emotional roller coaster, that your feelings go up and down and you have no idea what's happening to you. Very confusing. You do not know where to go. You're a little bit alone. You can feel that you're isolated. Everything that you knew is not there. Everything that is new, you're not familiar with. So you're in between, almost in a split position, trying to find your way, but you cannot hold on to anything. And that is very confusing. It's very lonely and it hurts. And many people give up there because they think, I do not know what to do. And then homesick comes in and then they go back to what they know. And then they go home because they do not want to be in transition. Then the 4th stage is entering. That's also difficult because it means that you have to take a risk. You have to be bold. You have to be courageous. I don't have any friends. That's true. But you have to make a step to make new friendships. I don't know the language. That's true. But you have to take that risk to learn the language. And you have to fail. And you have to stand up again. And then you fall down again. And you stand up again. And you need friendships. You need a mentor next to you or a coach that says, hey, don't give up. Hold on. We are almost there. And then hopefully you go from stage 4 to 5 where you are involved again. And that's wonderful.
Wow, what a journey.
Yeah, it's a journey, huh?
I can imagine if you're not aware of that, that is a lot to go through and feels very confusing.
Yes.
So what happens if we're totally not aware of what transition is and all those phases? You already said there's the stage people want to give up. Can you describe a bit what is really the difference when we know more about how to transition than when we don't know it?
Yeah, I think it's very good that you are aware that you are in transition. That is, I think, the first point that you can help people with is that, hey, you're not crazy. I know you feel that it's all crazy and you're very emotional and suddenly you cry and sometimes you panic and you do not know what to do and then you're angry and you think I'm crazy. It's very good to then say to that person, hey, you're not crazy. You're just in transition. You're not abnormal, you are normal. This is part of life and you are now in phase 3, but there's hope. Make that step into phase 4 and stage 5 will come, but it takes time. And sometimes patience is a little bit of suffering. Patience is not nice and you want to give up, but sometimes you have to be patient and you have to endure and you have to maybe suffer a bit because it's not always easy. But you can make it more pleasant and you can do things about it. So awareness is I think, the number one thing. And then action. To realize, okay, I am in transition. This is what I feel. I am normal. I'm not crazy. But I can do something. And then maybe go for a cup of tea with somebody that you do not know yet. Then after that cup of tea, you know that person. Now you know one, have another cup of tea.
So going back to what you described, that in the phase one we're involved, then we go to phase two when we're leaving. So if you just imagine maybe, you know, you're finishing school, you start a study, or you plan to go abroad or maybe into missions. So you mentioned the different stages. And maybe I just finished school and I start a study, or maybe I want to go a year abroad. I'm on my way into missions. When does stage two start? How do I know? Are there any signs where I can notice in myself, oh, maybe I'm in transition? How does that work?
Yeah, I think maybe it starts with a thought or a dream. Hey, maybe I want to go to St. Martin and work there in a farm. So that's your dream. So then nothing happened yet. You're not in transition yet. And then you maybe speak about it with other people. And then maybe the picture becomes more clear for you. And suddenly there's a stage that you start believing, hey, maybe I could really go to St. Martin and work in a farm. And you spoke with people about it. You start maybe planning. I think the moment you make the decision, that's when it starts, because then it becomes real for you. But you, when you decide and you also share your decision with others, then everything might change. Your boss might react differently to you. He might be disappointed that you made that decision. So suddenly there can be tension between you and your boss, or you and your friend, because they are hurt that you are leaving. You made that decision. So then you have to be aware, when you make the decision, things might change a bit.
And it may still even be some months till I go, but already something is changing.
Yes.
That's very important to be aware, because I can imagine that feels very confusing, that you maybe react differently to people, or as you say, your boss reacts differently to you. But that's all a part of transitioning.
That's true. And maybe good to remember is that when you make the decision, that your decision always has an impact. Decisions have consequences. So your decision might be very joyful for you because you are going and you are excited. But your decision, maybe your mom really doesn't like your decision. And your mom maybe wants you to stay and she feels insecure, or she panics. So be aware that the first reaction of people is not always the reaction you like to see. They also have to get used to it. And then it can be a shock for them. Like, what? Yeah. Because you never involve them in your decision. So that can happen. Yeah.
So are there any things, how could we then do it?
If you make a good meal, you need to prepare your meal. And in life, many times the preparation phase is maybe overlooked. So prepare well. Think about the consequences of your decision. Maybe you only look from your position. That they call that the first position. That is me, what I think, what I decide, what I want. The second position is the position of somebody else. So try also to be in the second position. What does this decision mean for my mom and my dad? What does this decision mean for my girlfriend or my boyfriend or for my colleague or my friend? So, so try to see both sides because it has an impact for everybody.
I think that's very valuable advice, to really consider different positions, different people, and to have everyone on board.
Yeah.
So that was already some things about phase one. And then phase two is really the leaving phase, you said. And can you'd already described it a bit. What are some emotions or maybe some behavior you see a lot with people in that phase?
What I had is that rejection. You are in this meeting and you're not involved anymore. They say, hey, you can go. So I felt rejected. Grief is very common because you will lose something. So you're grieving. Every loss that you experience in life, there's grief. And many people do not like to grieve, so they make a false bridge. They make a bridge, I want to do quick, I want to do it fast, or I don't want to have these emotions. So they make a bridge and then they move on. It will catch up to with you. So you cannot make a false bridge. Now, one thing what you could do is, they call it raft. So if you go from one island to another island, you need a good raft to go from one place to the other. Now, raft is an acronym and it stands for reconcile. So the R stands for reconcile. So go to all those people that you feel like, hey, I'm not reconciled with this person. I want to leave. I want to go fast, but make things right with that person. Then the A stands for affirm. Let people affirm you, what you have done for their in their company or in their job or in their study or as a friendship. But also affirm others. Tell them how much you appreciate them, what you liked about it, what influence they had in your life. Then the F stands for farewell. It's not done a lot, but have a farewell party. Let all your friends come. Tell what you're going to do. Let them celebrate with you and have a good farewell party. And then the T stands for think destination. Then you're ready, you're reconciled, you're affirmed, and you affirmed others. You have your farewell party. And then you think, okay, now I'm going to leave. And then you think, okay, this is where I'm going. What do I need to prepare? And so on.
So you say if maybe one thinks, oh, now I'm leaving, now I can tell people really what I think and I can really say this is what I always thought we're not doing well. This is the moment because then I'm gone anyways. It's not a good idea.
Do you mean that to be very critical to everything? I would not think that is a really good idea unless they ask you, hey, can we have an evaluation talk? And then they give you the platform. They allow you to share what you want to give to the company or to the friendship you have. But if you don't have the platform, I'm not sure if that is a good thing to do.
Why is it so important for us that we reconcile with people before we leave?
Naya, you take things with you. So one thing that happened with me is I left Indonesia, and behind my back, there was criticism on my decision that I left. We had a lot to do, and the team worked very hard to make everything work. And then on top of that, me, Ryan, left. I left them. And behind my back, they start talking about it. And they said, if this is the way he's leaving us, I hope he will not return. That's what they said. And yeah, through another person, I heard that they said that to me. So now I was hurt and I didn't want to reconcile, but they didn't know that I knew. So I left. Now, what do you think if you go with a little bit of bitterness in your heart? It's almost like poison. So actually, I'm drinking that poison. I'm leaving Indonesia and I left to Thailand, but that poison is still in my heart. So every time I meet new people, I'm still poisoned, I'm still bitter, and I'm not better yet. So yeah, that's the consequences. So later on, I had to reconcile, I had to talk with people and had to go back because I don't want to live with that poison because it slowly makes you die. So that's why you need to reconcile. Many people go into a new phase or a new season, but with all the hurt from the past, their whole backpack is full with rotten bananas and old diapers and poop. You don't want to have a backpack full with garbage. So leave that behind, reconcile, and then go into that new season. Good seasons start with good endings.
That's a wise word. Good seasons start with good endings. I really like that. That's so true what you're saying. And I think it's not easy to really make choices and reconcile. But as you explained, it's so important that we don't have our hearts filled with bitterness or poison. And you also mentioned that it's important to grieve in this season. How does grief look like? How do I grieve? What do I grieve? You mentioned a few things, but as you said, that's really hard for people and you rather want to skip. Can you explain a little bit how does that look like?
Yeah, there's a lot of material also on the internet. They call it the grief curve. And it's a curve that you go into a valley and the lowest point can be really depressed or anxious or, yeah, not so nice thoughts. And then you slowly climb up. You basically have to go through the pain. But because it's painful, people do not want to go there. I don't like to go to the dentist because I know when they find something, especially the second time I have to come back, then I know that I have this like a hole in my teeth and I know that they're going to drill and they're going to put something in it. Yeah, I don't want to go. With all the consequences, but I have, yeah, you get it, right? So you have to go through that pain. And because people don't like it, they ignore it, they are, yeah, not going there. Yeah, and then you make a false bridge. So is that easy? No, it's not easy. It hurts to grieve, but it's good. It's good to cry. It's good to let it out. If you're angry, I just lost my mom about a year ago. It's very good to cry and to have all my emotions shout out and to talk. I gave everything to God and to cry with my friends and to cry with my family and to have a ceremony of grief where I carried the coffin of my mom, to put the flowers there, to say goodbye to the coffin, to I preached at the funeral. That's also part of grieving. and to allow it to be there. And it might look a little bit different than I normally act. When people saw me, they're panicking. Is it okay with that Ryan is crying now or that he's angry? Yeah, I'm grieving, and that's part of life. You should grieve too if you have losses. Yeah.
What if things were really difficult? How does that look like when you're actually just happy to go?
Sometimes the excitement is way stronger than the losses you have. When I left to Indonesia, I was also very excited. I was full with passion. I could go. Wow, this is great. God called me. I'm going. So there was a lot of excitement as well. So in my case, it was a little bit NN. And sometimes the hurts, you realize the hurts after a bit. So when I left my first time furlough and I come back to what I had, I realized, oh my goodness, a good mattress is so wonderful. And this Dutch food, oh my. And the pepernoten for Christmas, they are so good. Oh, I missed it. And sometimes on the field, you realize that there are losses. So also, yeah, your beginning stage, they call it sort of the honeymoon phase. Yeah, you're not thinking of losses at all. But 3-4 months, you will realize that there are losses. And then, yeah, you will grieve and it will hurt. And sometimes you don't want to think about it. So then you just work harder or you go to McDonald's more often. I did all the things or more shopping just to make it numb or to not realize that you have losses. But there will be one time that you cannot go to the McDonald's or you cannot go to the shop. And then you sit there in your room and then you sort of realize, oh my goodness, something happened. And I lost something and I'm hurt. And then you cry and then, yeah, it's part of life.
What I also hear you say is that as we go through transition, it's also an opportunity to get to know ourselves much better and much deeper and also really be aware of what we value and what we will miss. Also, whom are we close to? What is happening? So it's a phase where we are very confronted also with ourselves and we can choose to look at it or we can choose to run away. But eventually things will catch up to us.
That's right.
So we better don't run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard somebody said like experience is a good teacher. Actually, experience is not really a great teacher. If you evaluate your experience, that is a wonderful teacher. You learn a lot about others, about God, about yourself. But if we do not evaluate, if we not stop and stand still and look back, hey, what just happened? What did I experience? Why am I emotional? Why am I crying? If you don't stop and think about these things, you will never learn. You just move on. Yeah, so it's very good to stop, to evaluate, to see, okay, what just happened? And from there, what did you learn? And then you find out, oh, who am I? What do I actually need? So you will know yourself and hopefully you will accept yourself and hopefully you will be yourself. That will be the best phase.
What do you tell people who are afraid that emotions overtake or say, hey, we don't want to be led by everything we feel, but it's still there? How does that work?
I noticed that there's three kinds of people. You have people that make decisions based on their feelings. They are the feelers. And then you have the other people, so they are the thinkers. They do everything with their mind. And other people are very strong-willed and they do things with the will. This is what I want and this is my decision. So, yeah, it depends. Maybe you have to know yourself a bit. Are you more a feeler? Are you more a thinker? Or are you more made decisions on what you want, your will? That helps to know what the obstacle can be. Now, your feelings are a good, they are a good servant. And your thoughts are also a very good servant. And your will is also a good servant. But both, all three are a bad master. So we have one master, that's God, and we have good servants.
Feelings, emotions, they're serving us because they let us know what's going on. They're
right.
Communicating something, but we're still in charge. But we need to know what's all happening. Otherwise, it still sneaks through and we're unaware of our actions and what we're actually doing.
Yeah, and the other way around as well. Also, your thoughts, they also tell you something. Why are you thinking that? What is in my mind and why am I bothered by it? And then emotions come because you're bothered as more an emotion. And why do I not want this to do this? That maybe has to do with your values or your belief or trust or whatever. It can be many things. Yeah.
So now I decided to go somewhere. what happens in that third phase?
Yeah, then you're really in transition. Maybe you can, the picture for the people who like a picture, it's almost like a plant and it's in a pot and there's soil and there's water and it's good. That's phase one. They are involved. It's wonderful. And then suddenly I take that plant and I take it out of the pot and you will hear it. You hear those roots. They are, no, I want to be in that pot. So the phase three is that you are not in a new pot yet, but you're also not in the old pot. You're just floating above the pot. And that is very scary. It's, you panic. You feel alone. You do not know what to do. The new is not familiar for you. That can be a very horrible phase transition. So phase three, yeah, chaos, emotional roller coaster. Do not know what to do. You're panicking. The mechanisms inside of you, they do not know what to do. Your coping mechanism, because they've never been there before. So you can feel a little bit like numb or shocked or like, I do not know what to do. Yeah, that's transition.
Sounds not nice. And what helps me then?
No, it's not nice. No, I'm not. Maybe you have been in a position.
Yeah, I have been there also.
Yeah, that you are in a place that you do not know what to do. For example, you leave Schiphol and you go to Calcutta. In my example, I went to India and then I was so overwhelmed with all these people and they're asking, hey, come in my taxi, blah, blah, blah. And they're screaming and it's loud, different smells, different. The heat, it just got me. And I stand there with my bag and I'm like, oh, well, I do not know how to deal with this. I didn't prepare. I didn't know what to do. Should I take the taxi or they fool me? There can be all kinds of feelings that you're there. So yeah, you have to ask people that have been there. In Dutch, you call it a voorganger, somebody who went before you, a forerunner. Yeah. So that's very helpful. Yeah. So a mentor who has been through that transition already, that can help you. And like, hey, you're not crazy. I experienced the same. Oh yeah, really? You too? Oh, I thought I was crazy. No, you're not crazy. You're just in transition. So that helps a lot.
So if I would now start a new job and not go to a different country, it would be probably something similar. There are different ways of doing things and you don't know anything. So then what I hear from you saying, it could be super valuable to have that one person in my new company. I can ask questions. Or, well, how was that for you? And
yeah, exactly. Especially from, this is a transition I didn't say yet, but if you are a student, you study, and then you go into the work environment, that's also a huge transition. It's not talked about a lot, but it's so different. Now, within YRAM, you have a student, they do a school here, and then they become staff. Oh my, that's a whole different ballgame. So I would definitely ask somebody who's been there and ask advice or say, every week, can I walk with you for an hour just to complain what I feel and let my emotions out? Yeah, very, very good to do.
How do I get rooted? How is it getting better?
You have to take a risk. You have to take action. You have to realize that, okay, you're hanging above two pots, but you need to be planted in this new. You do not know what the new is, but you have to try. Try things, put your feet in the water and ask yourself things like, what do I need right now? Now, if you, for example, I was in Indonesia and there was a squatty potty. So just a hole in the floor was new to me. And I thought it would be so wonderful if I just have a toilet that I can sit. Okay, that is a need. Okay, it cost 80 euros. Do I have 80 euros? Yes. And then I buy a toilet. It took me 2.5 years before that toilet came. But things like this would help. Pau, my wife, she likes flowers. Now, if it makes her more happy if there are flowers in the house, then buy those flowers. Yes, there's a cost. And sometimes things cost money. But it's so worth it. Bring things that are familiar to you. For me, it was the McDonald's. So every week I went to the McDonald's for the first 6 months just because I needed something that was familiar to me. Now, yeah, then you go to the McDonald's every month for that time being. I didn't go to an Indonesian church, for example, because I didn't know the language. So I first went to an international church where they speak English and I could get to know a little bit more of what was going on, meet other people that also went through this transition before me. And then slowly I moved to an Indonesian church. So don't be too rough on yourself. Don't think, oh yeah, this person lives here 10 years and they do this all already. So I need to do that as well. Be gentle for yourself. Be gentle for your soul. Just think, what do I need? And give yourself that what is necessary so that you can stay there in a healthy way.
So these things we maybe sometimes think they're actually not that important and they're minor, they actually can make a huge difference, is what I hear you say.
Yeah.
And it's really important that we know what that could be for me.
Exactly.
If I'm somewhere else, or yeah, if I'm in a new position, what helps me to go through it? And that's probably something we can actually think beforehand. And sometimes we learn on the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I was in Indonesia. There were 16 teams that I hosted, and you see always the same transition with those teams. So then they have to eat rice and chicken or rice and vegetables in a way that they are not used to. So they can do that for 3 days without complaining, but then the fourth day you will see that they need something. And then the fifth day and the sixth day, and then they do not want to eat rice and chicken anymore or vegetables. And they get so, yeah, it affects them. And then on a Sunday after the church, I would take them to a burger place and I give them a burger and everybody's happy. If that helps you, then let them eat a burger. Give yourself a good mattress. If in the beginning I thought I need to also sleep on the floor, maybe I need a bed because I'm used to the bed. Buy yourself a bed. Air conditioning, same thing. If you are not used to 35 degrees, buy an air conditioning. Yeah, but my neighbors and all the people there, they don't have air conditioning. That's true. But they're used to that. You're not used to that. If you need that, buy yourself an air conditioning, things like that.
How long does it take? I guess it also depends on if you transition to a completely different culture, you don't know at all. Maybe you move to a village further, but still you're transitioning and you go through similar things, but they show differently. So I don't know if you can say something roughly, but how long does it take till I come to that stage that I'm rooted again?
Yeah, that's a good one. In YWAM, they call it also, you will always move. YWAM, you will always move. So most people, if you move a lot, you're always in phase 2, 3, and 4, and you never have the feeling that you are involved. So there's a lot of emotions there. But most people, if you really transition well, if you prepare well, if you take effort, if you learn the language, if you understand the culture, if you invest in those things, it takes about 2 to 3 years. In Indonesia, I also felt that I really, after 3 years, I felt really settled. They knew my name. I knew what I could do. They knew what I could do. It was good. I felt very involved. In Thailand, it was a different ballgame because Thai language, it takes about 7 years before you learn it. And if you really want to understand the culture, you have to understand the language. You cannot understand the culture if you don't speak the language and you cannot communicate with the people. So then after learning language, it takes about 7 years. So your transition to be very effective is a little bit longer. But in general, they say about 2 to 3 years that you transition.
That's probably longer than most of us think. Whoa.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But I think it's really important that we're aware that transition takes time.
Yeah.
And that you can't rush it. You can do things to help it, but you can't skip something. And I think what I've also heard you say is that when we try to skip, it's mostly not for our best. Mm. But we have to go through it because it's a natural process.
Yeah.
When you look back and you've shared a lot about how you transitioned, can you name something you learned about yourself or you grew as a person through transitioning and, as you said, evaluating also as you transitioned?
Transition is also beautiful. Eh? For 5 years, I could live in another country. I could live in Indonesia. I traveled the whole of Indonesia. I went from Aceh to Papua. I met so many beautiful people. I've eaten things that I never ate before. I have seen things that most Dutch people never will see. I've been to places where people pay 3,000-4,000 euro to go on a holiday. I was just there because I was there. So it's also very wonderful to transition, and it's an adventure and you explore. Yeah, there's multiple things that I learned also in my relationship with Pao that I'm different in a transition than her. I'll give you an example. So I thought, okay, Pao is from, born in Myanmar, raised in Thailand. So I thought when we went to Holland, we would explore Europe. So we explored Europe and I thought it as a single guy. So I put two folding bikes in a bus and I thought, oh, wait, you know what? We travel by night, so then I don't have to pay the cost for a hotel. And then we will see Paris, for example. Now, that didn't work. Pau didn't sleep in the Flixbus. We had these folding bikes. Pau is not used to ride the bike. yeah, so for her, that was not joyful at all. And I'm sitting there in Paris with a baguette at 6 o'clock in the morning, and Pau's face is crying because he wants to sleep and just rest. So we have different ways of doing things. Yeah, and you have to find out what do you need in a transition. So when you go to another country, it would be good to first settle a bit. So maybe the first night, go for a good hotel so that you can rest and that you there's jet lag as well. There's many things. So what do you need? And listen to your body, listen to your thoughts, listen to your emotions and what you need. Try to give that. And you cannot take everything away. You cannot prepare everything away because there are losses and there are things in transition. But if you really think of yourself and what you need, most things you can really cover. But what do you need in transition?
Yeah, I need stability.
Mm, yeah.
And something, smell is really important. I'll bring oils I'm used to. Exactly. That helps me a lot.
Yeah, perfect.
And a good pillow.
Exactly. That's I have the same. So I bring my pillow as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Looks a little bit foolish on the plane, but that night.
I never brought it, but I learned the other day from someone that I should bring it. So that came on my list. Okay, next time I would bring a good pillow.
Yeah, very good.
Yes. There's so many things to talk about, and we're already at the end of our time. But I really liked hearing how we can go through transition. And at the end, something you mentioned, but I really want to encourage people, is to really get help and to maybe have a mentor or look for a coach, to not do it alone. It's doable, but it's great to have someone go with us. And I think that's also wonderful to see that you in MemberCare as a team really made it your mission to go with people who want to go into the world to build God's kingdom, to say, hey, we don't want to let you go alone. We're there for you. And that's really beautiful.
Nice.
So thank you for sharing, Ryan. This really was a lot of fun to listen and to hear. I could still talk for a long time. Maybe as the last thing, what is your hope for people who go through a transition?
Yeah, in general, what I hope is that we have a lot of lone rangers that want to do things alone. I tried many things, tried to do it alone. With the Europe MemberCare, our slogan is, let's do mission together. Let's do missions together. And I think that's what I hope for people, that they do not do everything by themselves and say, no, I want to do it. I want to make it. I can do it in my own power. It's not meant to do alone. It's meant to do together. So let's do missions together with God, with friends, with people, with colleagues. So that will be my hope.
It's a wonderful closure. Let's do things together.